If you love Jesus, hallelujah, don't be ashamed to let your light shine. Amen for him. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll also deny you. So we lift up our hands today and say, Jesus, we confess you as Lord. Hallelujah. In the presence of your people, Lord. Hallelujah. I will give thanks to thee, Lord, among the nations. I will give praises to you, Lord, among the people. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that you are for us, that you have overcome sin and death. Hallelujah. You have overcome the grave. And you have been given the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray that you would crush Satan under our feet today. Lord, we pray that you would manifest your spirit, your power in this place, Lord. Hallelujah. Let your grace, Lord, be poured out. Your oil upon every head today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray that you'd rise up in this house and drive out your enemies, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Satan, we reject you. We renounce you in Jesus' name. Take your hands off God's people in Jesus' name. And Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here today. Hallelujah. Wake up, Lord, those who sleep. Shake them up, Lord, today. Shake them out of it in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. We give you the praise. We give you the thanks. We give you the glory, Almighty God. Hallelujah. Lord, come and reign over us today. Reign in this place. Reign in me, Lord. Hallelujah. Of your kingdom there shall be no end. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every eye will see the coming of the King. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus the Lord. Every eye will see the coming of the King. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every eye will see the coming of the King. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every eye will see the coming of the King. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus, come on one more time. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every eye will see the coming of the King. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Every eye will see the coming of the King. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Yes! Jesus is the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We confess with our mouths what you believe in your heart, that God has raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the tongue, right, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. There needs to be a confession. Hallelujah. You got Jesus? How many know you're not ashamed of someone you really love? You're not ashamed of the ones you really love. I love Jesus. He's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Hallelujah. Changed my life. Saved my life. Yep. Hallelujah. Where there was nowhere else to look but up, he pulled me up. He lifted me out of it all. Hallelujah. And he set my feet upon a rock. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The psalmist said. Amen. Too many today are cowering in fear and bowing down to the pressure of the world to conform to its image. We are to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There's no stability in the things of this world. Amen. It's passing away and all the lust thereof. But the word of our Lord stands forever. Amen. And those who are in Christ, they have a foundation. They have stability. Amen. He is our rock. He is our foundation.
Amen.
Amen. Our strong tower, our deliverer. Hallelujah. So God wants his people to be strong in his might. Not in your willpower, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes our own willpower is the problem. We're not submitting our will to his will. Amen. Life and peace flows from the Spirit of God through the one who is submitted to the Spirit of God. So I have a will. I can do what I want with my will, but I have to choose to submit my will to God's will. And then I have life and peace in the Holy Spirit. You see, my mind, my will, my emotions all come under the influence of the Spirit of God. Amen. I used to be under the influence of the spirits of this world. Amen. Now I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I have life and peace in him. Amen. Hallelujah. He gives me a confidence. Amen. That I don't naturally possess. But we rely upon the Holy Spirit, you see. Life is in him. Peace is in him. He is our peace. Well, if I just find the perfect vacation spot, I'll have peace. Not. If I can just get on a fishing boat maybe and go up into Alaska somewhere, I'll have peace. Not. As long as you got Christ, you got peace there too, right, brother?
Absolutely.
It's good to see you back. But God is good. God is with us. He is our peace. Amen. God is waking up his people.
Amen.
That's what's happening.
Amen.
God, if we're not, listen, Johnny, it's time to get up. Johnny, you're going to be late for school. All right. A few minutes later, Johnny, it's time to get up. You're going to be late. All right, yeah, I'll be down in a few minutes. A few minutes later, no Johnny. Johnny, get up. Wake up. You're going to be late. Amen. Sometimes it's like that. God has to shake us to wake us. We can just doze off and not even realize we're asleep. Keith Green wrote a song years ago called Sleeping in the Light. You can be asleep in the light. You can be in the presence and yet be asleep. Come on, God wants us alert. He wants us to be watchful. Amen. And prayerful. Pay attention to what's happening. You know, the Lord is going to return one of these days, and he's coming for those who are looking for him. Are you looking for him? Are you ready to go? That's time to wake up. That's the title of the message today. It's time to wake up. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you will grant me the words to speak today, the utterance. And I thank you for that. Amen. I don't know about you, but it's easy to become enraged and vindictive over recent events, things that have happened, even concerning Charlie Kirk and this young Ukrainian woman who was savagely murdered on the bus in Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, and certainly I believe there needs to be justice for them. Amen. God is a God of justice, and God gives us civil authorities. Amen. For that purpose, you know, without authority, everything dissolves. Chaos results. Amen. Anarchy. But God gives structure, gives order. Amen. He gives authority because he knows how we're made. Amen. And he knows what fallen man is capable of doing if he's not held accountable for his actions. Mm-hmm. So God establishes even human government and authority. Amen. As a temporary restraining force. There's coming a time, though, when the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is going to establish his rule, Amen. His reign over all the earth. Every knee will bow to him in that day. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but we confess him now and we bow now because we're looking forward to that day. You know, earthly punishment can be severe, but eternal condemnation is far worse than anything we can imagine. We need to be aware that there is a greater judgment coming, in which all the secrets of men's hearts will be exposed, and all those who refuse to repent of their sins will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The Bible is very clear about this. There is a hell. It's an eternal hell. And God does not want anybody to go there. We don't want to go there. Amen? I want to make sure it is well with my soul. You don't want to guess about your salvation. You need to believe. Amen. Lamentations 3:22, it says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. I believe if it wasn't for the mercy of the Lord, America would not exist today. But it's because of the Lord's mercies. Amen. We're not consumed. And because God has a people, a remnant, who stand in the gap, who pray, intercede on behalf of this nation, who cry out to the Lord for mercy. If we got justice, we wouldn't be here. But we're pleading the mercy of God. Amen. And the mercy of God, that the grace of God will be released upon the people, that their eyes will be opened and they'll see. Because no one can see unless the Lord allows them to see. And you and I, as a royal priest, are called to intercede, to stand in the gap on behalf of those who don't know the Lord, and on behalf of our nation. If you want life and peace in this nation, amen, you're going to have to stand in the gap for it. We are the salt. We are the light. We are the influencers. And we just saw the death of a great influencer, didn't we? And it makes you angry. Mixed emotions. I shed some tears. I didn't know him that well, but I listened to him a few times. But still, I was impacted by it, as many were. And sometimes, you know, in our soul, we become vindictive. And, you know, right away, we can have this impulsive feeling like I need to go out and do something and avenge this guy or whatever, you know. But we need to understand that this life is temporary. These bodies are temporary. Our life, as James said, is like a vapor. Amen. And soon it's gone. We are an eternal soul. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. In heaven or in hell. Those are the two options. And so we need to understand that God does not want even the people that disagree with us to go to hell. And sometimes, guys, this is hard for me to grasp in my humanity, in my soul. But see, my soul has to bow to the will of God. Because my soul sometimes wants to do its own thing, has its own idea. But what we're dealing with in America today is much greater than politics. It's a moral crisis. And only God's divine intervention can save us. So people need to wake up and they need to realize that, listen, what's at stake here? It's the heart of man that's wicked. The heart of man needs to be changed before the ills of our society can be healed. See, sometimes we're just trying to put a Band-Aid on something that goes much deeper than that. Amen? It's the soul. It's the heart even of man that needs to be changed. When the heart changes, the life changes. The fruit of the life is changed. Sometimes people are just trying to act better, to be better. Only God can make you good. God makes us good. Without him, we're not good. The Bible's very clear about there. There's none good. Amen. We need His goodness. We need Him. We need His righteousness. Because then we can just say, well, I'm not like other people. I'm a pretty good person. Well, the problem is you're sinful. And sin will not be allowed in God's presence. If you got sin, amen, you're not going to be able to stand before the Lord. You're not going to stand in the judgment. So the sin problem needs to be dealt with. The good news is that the sin problem has already been dealt with. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? That's the good news. But people need to understand that. And they need to understand that God calls all men everywhere to repent. Right? Because He has appointed a day in which He shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained. And He's given us assurance of this. And that He has what? Raised Him from the dead. Who's that? Jesus is going to sit in judgment over the nations. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is the Lord. God is being patient. That's what He's doing. He's being very patient with us right now. And we're praying, Lord, be patient. Lord, be merciful. Give us more time for more people to come. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise of His return, of His coming, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that what? Any should perish. He's not willing that any should perish. And again, this is sometimes it's hard for me to grasp. But that all should come to repentance. Because we look at the heinous things that some people do and things deserving of severe judgment and even hell. And let me say this today. You and I need to guard our hearts from becoming hardened against those who disagree with us. We are to love our enemies. You see, natural man says no. Right? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Under the law, that was the situation. But now we're under grace. Matthew 24:12, and because lawlessness, Jesus said, will abound. We're living in those times. The love of many will what? Grow cold. He's talking about agape, the love of God. We need to guard our hearts that we don't become calloused, indifferent, hardened towards people that we disagree with. If it wasn't for God's mercy, we would not be saved. Come on. We've all sinned and fallen short. We've all been that enemy of God. Amen. But because of the mercy of God, Jesus gave His life to redeem us. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I want to talk about Stephen this morning. I was praying about this whole situation and what's happening and how sometimes it takes a tragedy to jolt us awake. Amen. And how God can take a bad situation and turn around for good. So one of the first deacons in the New Testament was Stephen. And he was actually a deacon who was used mightily by God, right, in performing miracles and preaching the word. And it says in Acts 6:8, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. How many believe there needs to be a demonstration of the message? Yes. Yes. But one day, some men from the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. They were Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Cilicia, and the province of Asia. Now, the synagogue was a place where the Jews gathered together on the Sabbath for instruction in the law. And it was the Spirit of the Lord that gave Stephen the ability to give a defense of the message that he preached. But these zealous Jews were no match for Stephen. They were zealous for what they believed. They were passionate about what they believed. But they could not resist the Spirit that was in Stephen. And it upset them. It made them very angry. And they even hated him because they could not dispute him. I could not win the debate. You see, man's pride would not let them come to a place where they had to admit, you know, I don't have all the answers. I don't have this whole thing figured out. And neither do you and I. But what God wants us to know, he will reveal to us by his Spirit and his word. Amen. And so instead of humbling themselves and receiving the message, they conspired against him to silence him. Sound familiar? And falsely accused him of blasphemy against God and Moses. They falsely quoted him as saying that Jesus would destroy the temple and change the whole system which Moses delivered to Israel. Of course, Jesus was talking about his body being given up. Amen. In 3 days it would be raised up. And after Stephen's great historical speech and defense of the truth, they hated him even more. And then they murdered him. Why? Because he spoke the truth. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you also. If you speak the truth, they'll hate you for it. How many know that Jesus didn't have any people in the middle? Either they loved Jesus or they hated Jesus. Come on. And if you're going to live for God, amen, it's going to be like that. They're going to love you or they're going to hate you. I'd rather be loved by God and hated by man. Amen. Accepted by God, praise God. And so in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, listen, do not hold this, right? Charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. How many know that Stephen's death would not be in vain? His death would result in the spread of the gospel throughout the earth. And what the devil meant for evil, God would turn around for good. If the enemies of God knew how this would backfire, they would not have stoned Stephen. It had the opposite effect. They thought they were going to stop it, but it only spread. Are you making the connection? Yeah. And so they took the clothes of those, right, who were stoning him. And interesting enough, they laid it at the feet of Saul of Tarsus. Guess what? He was going to be his successor. And Paul was the one, or Saul at that time, was the one that was consenting to this. He was in agreement with this. And they laid their clothes at his feet. Yeah, it was the very one consenting to his death, and the least likely one would go on to spread the gospel like no other apostle. Paul later wrote this, 1 Timothy 1:13, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained what? Mercy. Huh. How great is the Father's love? How great is his mercy? Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now listen, the same thing is happening today throughout the earth. In ignorance, many people are doing things that they believe are true and right, not realizing that they are actually opposing God. Some people are killing in the name of God, thinking they're doing God's work, but they're actually in opposition to God because they don't know God. Why? Because their hearts are darkened. And unless the light of Christ shines into our hearts, we can't see either. And all of us have done things worthy of death. Amen. Worthy of hell. But God in his mercy allowed us to see. Amen. And see his mercy as Jesus laid on that cross for us and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. 2 Corinthians 4:4, it tells us that Satan, who is referred to as the god of this age or the god of this world in the King James, whose minds, listen, the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You know, without the Lord, we cannot see. Amen? Our heart is naturally darkened. Okay? So natural man cannot discern or judge clearly because Satan has blinded his eyes. And that's why you cannot intellectually understand the truth that is in Christ. Your intellect will be involved in the process, but it's the Spirit of God, amen, that illuminates our minds, our understanding, come on, so that we can understand who He is. So our minds must come under the influence or the authority of the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth, who reveals who God is to us. And so natural man cannot know God because of the darkness that's within him, because he is spiritually separated from the Lord. That's why Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You must be born again. You must have the Spirit of Christ in you before you will understand these things. He spoke to many people who were listening but not getting it. And he spoke to many religious people of his day who were listening, not getting it, but pretending that they knew. And he says, because you say, I know, therefore your sin remains. Because you won't humble yourself and admit you don't know. Because of their pride, amen, they would not be able to understand or know the Lord. God gives his grace to the humble. God gives his grace to the teachable. God gives his grace to those who will humble themselves, all right, and listen and be willing to receive his instruction. We need to remember it's only by God's grace that we're saved. I need to remind myself of that. Sometimes I need to go back and remember where I was and what God did. Amen. Lest I become proud and somehow think I did all that. Titus 3:3 says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, what? Hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And once again, we need to remember that when Stephen was unjustly killed, he did not call condemnation down on his killers. He said, Lord, don't hold us to their charge. He pleaded mercy for those who were killing him. Acts 7, verse 60, then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. How many know our Lord Jesus Christ did the same thing for us on the cross? In Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And then they divided his garments and cast lots. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the mercy of God. Amen. It's by grace you are saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest we should boast. Amen. It is a work, a supernatural work of God. Amen. If we are repentant, if we're willing to bow our soul to him, to confess our sins to him, amen, and renounce our sinful ways, God in his mercy will forgive us. He will cleanse us from all our sin. Amen. And he will take up residence in our lives, and he will raise us up into new life. Hallelujah. We'll become a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. And I'll have an identity now as no longer a slave to sin, but a son of God. In Jesus' name. God is more concerned about the eternal soul of man than his earthly comfort. I said it before, but tragic events have a way of waking us up. When the early church was threatened with violence, they prayed for supernatural boldness, but hear it, but not for an escape. They prayed for boldness, not an escape. Now, Lord, Acts 4:29, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Anybody here need some boldness in your life? Amen. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll make you bold. You may be naturally a shy person, but you shall receive power, Acts 1:8, right? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you will be a martyr. You will be a witness for Christ. Amen. You'll be willing to do whatever the Lord tells you to do. Why? Because you'll have a supernatural boldness that's not of you, but it enables you to stand up for what is true and what is right. Amen. And to speak truth to the lie. I'm not afraid of the darkness. Whom shall I fear if God be for me? Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We pray the same today. Lord, make us bold. Make us strong in your might. Amen. Make us a fearless people. Hallelujah. We're not to be in any way intimidated by our adversaries. As a matter of fact, the enemies of God tremble at those who know their God. The demons tremble at those who know their God. Why? Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. If you don't believe that, then the devil will pick on you. He'll push you around. He'll intimidate you. He'll gag you and set you in the corner. He'll walk all over you. But if you understand who you are in Christ, and you understand the Christ that lives within you and the greater one, amen. If you're going to yield to him and allow him to be on the throne of your heart, you're going to bow your soul to him. You'll have the power, amen, to resist the devil. Amen. And he will flee from you. Amen. He will flee from you. See, the enemy wants to intimidate God's people, to silence us. He wants to take away the witness, but you know what? You can't stop the move of God's Spirit. What God sets in motion, you will never be able to stop. It'll only spread. I say, Lord, let it spread. Let the righteousness, the truth of your word spread. Amen. The word of God will accomplish what God sets it forth to do. No devil in hell, no man is going to be able to stop what God is going to do. He shall be glorified in all the earth. He shall reign over all the earth. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Amen. Every eye will see. The coming of the King. Hallelujah. God is more concerned about the eternal soul of man, I said it before, than his comfort. Sometimes God has to make us uncomfortable before we can be comfortable in him. Because if you're finding your comfort in the world, amen, it's idolatry. If you're finding your satisfaction in the temporary things of this world and neglecting the weightier things, such as your relationship with the Lord, amen, that's idolatry. Whatever takes God's place in your heart, amen, is an idol. And sometimes God has to make us uncomfortable to get our attention. Because he wants us to turn to him and to trust him, to lean on him, to rely upon him. Amen. Because what we're facing in this world is beyond anything that we can naturally overcome. You need him. You need his wisdom. You need his strength. You need his ability to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. You see, Christ is our firm foundation. In Christ alone I place my trust. The psalmist said in Psalms 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. Ouch. Somebody say, ouch. Man, that was me. And you know, the shepherd, the lover of our soul, he is a long shepherd's crook. You know what? You start getting too far out to pasture, he's going to reach right out and he's going to grab. He's going to get your attention. He's going to bring you back in by his grace. Amen. He disciplines his sons, doesn't he? Amen. He's also got that rod. And sometimes that rod is a rod of correction too. Amen. I don't like getting spankings, but sometimes we need them. But God loves us that much. So he said, when I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. And the Lord, you know, when he was speaking to the lukewarm church, remember the church of Laodicea, he said in verse 19, chapter 3, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. He says, don't be like the stubborn horse and mule. Amen. It has to be bridled. When God is dealing with you, just say, yes, Lord. Amen. Just comply. Amen. Why? Because he's loving on you. God tells you the truth because he loves you. How many know the truth is good for us? The Lord is coming for a glorious church. He's coming for a spotless bride. He's coming for a prepared people. Amen. Titus 2 and 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let what? No one despise you. Because Jesus Christ will sit as judge over all the earth. Why? Because the Father has committed unto him all judgment. Amen. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed for men to die once, after this the judgment. We all have our day in court. Today is a day, amen, to get things resolved. Hallelujah. You can settle out of court, praise God, because we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. We can come to Jesus today and confess and renounce our sinful ways. He will forgive us. He will blot those sins out. He'll never hold them against you again. But you must repent. You must turn from your sinful ways. And then you will find mercy from the Lord and salvation. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. When Jesus returns, it's not going to be to deal with the sin problem. He finished that work at the cross. He will return a second time to take his, first of all, his people home to heaven. Amen. And then he will pour out his wrath on the world of the ungodly. And this will be the culmination of our salvation. We will receive our glorified bodies and be forever with the Lord. Hallelujah. So we should not fear what man can do to us. God is raising up warriors. He's calling his soldiers. Amen. To stand. Hallelujah. Rank and file together, united for the purposes of the chief, amen, the commander in chief, our Lord Jesus Christ, amen, the head of his church. And he has equipped us, amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, amen. Greater is he that's with us and in us, amen, than he that's in the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to rise up, amen. I find out if I stand up for God, he stands up for me. You stand for Jesus, He'll stand up in you. He'll give you the supernatural boldness and confidence you need. You just simply need to obey His voice. And you'll find that He's there. He'll be there for you. Sometimes all we need to do, Brother Wayne talked about this morning, is just begin to talk. Open our mouth for Jesus. Lord, just give me a word. Sometimes it's just one word. Just start out. And all of a sudden He'll fill it. It'll begin to flow out of you like a river of living water. People who don't know God will continue to serve Satan and sin. However, we need to remember this. God is not willing that any should perish, including those who hate us and disagree with us. May God have mercy on them as He has had mercy on us. Saul of Tarsus, consenting to the death of Stephen, became one of the greatest apostles by the mercy of God. And he did it in ignorance. And many people today, what they're doing in ignorance because their hearts are darkened and they can't see clearly. So they're just functioning from their natural reasoning, which is darkened by sin. And therefore people do insane things, crazy things. Amen. And it's only by the mercy of God, amen, that the eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our hearts are opened up and we can recognize truth. There's no other way. So if we're going to boast, let's boast in the Lord. Let's give the Lord the praise, amen, for what He's done in our lives and what He's allowed us to understand, what He's allowed us to see even. Because you and I don't have anything, remember, that we had not received. You didn't give yourself it. You didn't save yourself. He saved you. Amen. He gave you the talents and the abilities you have. You didn't give it to yourself. So let's take what God has given us, amen, and give it back to Him. Let Him breathe on it, amen. Let Him supersize it. All I have is a few fishes and loaves. Well, praise God, give it to Jesus. Look what He'll do with it, amen. Give Him your life and watch what He'll do with your life. You can't hold back. You've got to completely surrender. You've got to completely give the whole thing over to Him, amen. He was all in for you on that cross. It's time for you to be all in for Him. Hallelujah. So we bless those who curse us. And we pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Revive us, O Lord. Fill our hearts with Your love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Ooh. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love. For Jesus who died and has now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah. How many need the fire of God? Amen. You want the fire of God? Pray right now for it. Ask the Lord right now, amen, to baptize you with His Holy Spirit. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I ask You to baptize me with Your Holy Spirit. And with Your fire, Lord, set my heart on fire for You. Make me strong in Your might. Lord, make me bold for You. Strengthen me with might in the inner man by Your Holy Spirit. I receive You, Lord, and I receive this impartation of Your divine grace that I may live for You. That I may run this race with perseverance in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, praise Him this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Lord, let Your fire fall. Let Your fire fall. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Come on, would you say today, Lord, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning throughout every day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Hallelujah. I want more of you, God. You want more? Just say, Lord, I want more. Open your heart to and say, Lord, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Have your way in me, Lord. Yield. Just yield to him. Let him have all of you. Hallelujah. I want more. All I want is more of you, Lord. All I need is more of you. You give him more of you, you'll have more of him. Let him have the whole offering. You need to be born again. If you're here today, you're not saved. You're not born again. You don't know. If you take your last breath where you're going to spend eternity, you must be born again. When you're born again, the Spirit of Christ dwells within your heart and begins to cry out, Abba, Father. You will have a heart of praise. You will call on the Lord when you're born again. You will trust him, amen, because of his Spirit indwelling you. You need to be born again. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer this morning. I just, whether you've been a Christian a long time or you just showed up today, I just want you to pray. Let's pray together. It's a prayer of commitment to the Lord, okay? If you're in on this, let's just pray together. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize without you, there is no hope, there's no life. I believe that only in you is there salvation. I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins, and you rose again on the third day, and you ascended back into heaven, and that you're there now. And so I call upon you, and I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Make me your own and raise me up for your glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. You made that commitment today. You need to tell somebody. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. Hallelujah.